when you decided to go back to graduate school in 1988, did you want to just get in and become involved in fisheries politics, or did fisheries politics somehow catch up with you because you had the
background?
Yeah, the background.
Well, a big part of why I went back to graduate school was to become an advocate for the industry and the resource. There was some of what I saw going on the water that concerned me about long-term health of the resource, different management systems, that gear types that were non-specific, high-impact trawling was, of course, my main campaign when I started with Alpha. But just management systems that were not working for fishermen or for the resource. So I wanted to understand the resource issues more completely and then gain a better grip on the management law. So I took some courses at the Yale Law School and the economics of the fisheries and the management,
yeah.
I guess. So the whole picture. So it was part of why I went back to school, and I wasn't quite sure where it would lead, but you stay around long enough and you get a pretty good grip of the issues.
Did you realize all this in a few years as a deckhand, or did you happen to become involved and associated with people who were trying to become more proactive at the time?
Well, it's interesting. The very first time I worked on a fishing boat, I was deckhanding, and a couple boats tied up together, and the skippers got together to talk. And as ever, their talk was about, you know, the scary things happening. It was in salmon fishing then, but what was going on with salmon runs and what was going on in the ocean and what that might mean for the troll fishery. And I was just astounded by their knowledge and how well they articulated what the issues were. And I was mostly just listening. I asked some questions, but I was just really impressed. And I've always been impressed by the fishermen up here, whether or not they choose to involve themselves with fishery management issues. They have an incredible knowledge of the resource. They're out there. They're observing all the time what's going on. And then a number of them of what the issues are with management and with the impacts that different, whether it's fishing has on the resource or forestry practices, you name it. They just are paying attention and they see it and they're usually willing to talk about it. So, yeah, I guess, you know, I was impressed by that and got more and more interested in it. I hadn't really gotten very involved up until the point that I went back to school and then returned here.
Yeah, a lot of those people that you're talking about, I know a lot of them, they feel that there's a bit of a disconnect between the reality on the water and policy decisions. Did you ever worry that you might sort of penetrate too far into the world of policy and lose your connection to the people who are working on
the water? Sure there's people who have thought I have. I've always earned my living fishing. The policy is more an expensive habit. So it's been hard to lose that grounding when you're out there working all the time side by side with people, whether it was deckhanding or running my own boat. But nevertheless, you never completely understand everybody's issues or can really have the same opinion as everybody. So I'm sure there's a lot of times when people have felt like I lost that grounding, and there's people who help me get regrounded sometimes, come in and talk to me and point things out to me. So it's
right.
A give and take.
Linda, I sometimes wonder when I think about your appointment to the council, I wonder if Governor Hickel at the time thought he was making a safe this person's not going to rock the boat. She's smart. She's been to Yale. She's going to contribute.
Could be. Someone just sent me this Dante quote recently, that the hottest place in hell is reserved for those who remain neutral, mm-hmm. with a thing saying, you don't have to worry about this. and, you know, maybe he thought I would be very neutral. I don't know. I've always tended to more the passionate than the neutral.
Uh-huh. Well, you were on the council for a long time, and I guess the central issue of your council period was IFQs, designing and implementing the program. Looking back on it, has it been worth it? Has it been a success?
I think it's an unqualified success for the resource. It certainly has had socioeconomic impacts, and a lot of the measures that Alpha championed to try and limit consolidation, protect the small boat fleet, protect an entry level, protect the working waterfront, prevent absentee ownership, have been critical to mitigating those impacts. Nevertheless, when you raise the cost of entry to a fishery the way we did by creating an IFQ program, it's changed the fisheries, and we're constantly working to address that and try and help come up with systems that work better for fishermen who live in communities, help them get a start. That's sort of my primary focus right now with the IFQ program.
Was there ever a time just personally where you felt that the emotional cost is just too high? I should pull back from active engagement in policy and let other people just take the heat for a while?
Oh, there's been times, certainly, where it's been, yeah. I mean, the pressure can get turned up pretty high. I mean, to the point, I had someone sabotage my boat. I had death threats on my answering machine. It was not pretty. And there's been times when you feel like you need to step back and take a deep breath, I guess. But I've always felt that if you had your facts, if you were working closely with the people you cared about in the fishing communities and listening closely to what they had to say and keeping the resource up front, that you were doing the right thing, and that it, in a way, it's the responsibility of people who are leaders to keep that hope alive that you can get through something like that and have the system you create be better for everybody in the end.
Is it always going to take people like you to shape policy and keep things going? I mean, can we ever relax? Like, will trawling ever come back in South
East? It's always a threat. Yeah, certainly. I mean, nothing's ever static or done for good. I think people always have to be vigilant about what they care about. And at this point, I think it's the responsibility of every fisherman, probably everybody who cares about the resource, to be involved in the fishery management process or the forestry management process or wherever your real interests and concerns lie. It's part of your business. You wouldn't ignore other parts of your business. And this is something you really have to dig in and be involved with or live with the consequences.
And of course, now we're sort of in the middle. We're we're waiting for a judge to decide about the latest step in the whole charter halibut issue. I wonder, do you see a resolution, that an attainable resolution?
In my mind, the guided sport sector is where the commercial fleet was maybe 30 years ago, where people thought it was a wide open resource, get it while you can, you know, some entitlement to it. And there's some fishermen that are still like that on the East Coast that are going through the education process now of, look, we're going to put a hard limit on how much you can catch, and you're going to figure out how to live within it. And it, like you said, it may not be pretty, but you got to get there, or we won't have a resource. So, there are more and more people in that guided sport sector who say that they can live with a one fish limit while the resource is low, recognizing that as it comes back, there'll be more fish for everybody, but that if we don't take care of them now, there won't be a resource in the future. And then the council also approved a catch share program that allow some give and take of quota share between the guided sport sector and the commercial sector that should be published as a proposed rule, go through the whole secretarial review process this winter, and be in place in a couple years. So I think that helps. That'll help people grow where they need to grow, decide, you know, as part of their business plan, what it's worth to them to provide more fish in their businesses.
The guided sports sector has produced some interesting personalities in this conflict. Have you sensed yet that you have any peers on that side, anybody who's coming at it from the same sort of place you came into your policy interest on the commercial side? Have you felt that kind of peer-to-peer relationship yet?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, there's quite a few people in the guided sport sector who they say, you know, I speak for the fish. I want to do what's right for the resource. And maybe some of them who didn't come in with that kind of attitude, but as they've gotten educated about the management system and the cold realities that the commercial fleet lives with of huge reductions in quota, even after you went out and spent $100,000 on buying that quota, they get it. And so, you know, I think we'll get there. And I see ways, certainly there's more in common in a lot of ways between, they're both commercial sectors, they're both sectors making their living going out on the ocean and catching fish, and that if we can find more common ground, we can get people working together. It's certainly in the best interest of the whole community, the whole fishing community.
All right. Is there anything you would have done differently, you know, looking back on your career so far?
You know, I am not someone who looks back. I never have been. I've always thought regrets were sort of a waste of time. But I never started with a planned career of here's the point I want to get to either. I've always been issue-based. When there's things out there that I see that I don't think are right, that's where I put my energy. And the trawl closure, getting this area close to trawling, was the first one. That's what really jump-started me into the whole management process, and then it's just evolved. There's always something out there that I get passionate about and follow, and I expect that'll continue.
Linda, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.